Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
When you look into the history of most subjects, you probably see an evolution of sorts that's taken place. Techniques are improved, mistakes are corrected, efficiency is achieved. After all, it would make sense to learn from our past and improve on it, to progress to something greater, something perhaps better than its original, primitive art form. Well, there are exceptions, rare in most cases, but one such exception that today's guest co-host and I would agree about, Hovey Lister and the Sensational Statesman Quartet, is still to this day a mark of excellence, innovativeness, professionalism, energy, pizzazz, class, and strong harmonies with which young quartets still try to compete. It's a major subject in the class of gospel music, so to help us sort out the history of such a foundational group in this genre is historian, songwriter, and number one Statesman fan in all the world, Bill Gaither. Bill, if I were asked to name your number one influence in music, I'd win a ton of money because I know you absolutely loved Hovey and the Statesmen.
Yes, I did, Daniel. It's, we keep improving technically in what we're doing. And obviously, there have been a lot of advances there. But boy, when you just take these guys around one RCA ribbon mic in a studio and a piano player and later on a bass and maybe electric or acoustic guitar, and they could make just as much magic or maybe even more magic than we could do with all of the advances that we got, it kind of blows your mind. I mean, it really does. They were good, and they were well ahead of their time.
Well, we figured we would, on this show, since you are quite the historian, but especially as it relates to the Statesman Quartet, you've got a list of songs. We'll let you call the shots because you were around in those days and you listened to them growing up. So I love the music, but you approach it from a very historical point of view. So I guess we have to start Dateline 1948, Atlanta. Is that accurate? Is that when he put the group together?
Yes, and I got most of this from Jake. Jake was up in Lincoln, Nebraska, with a group called the Melody Masters Quartet. Hovey had started this group called the Statesmen. He had played briefly with the Lefevres, and then he went with the Rangers for a while. And when I say briefly, I'm talking about 3 or 4 months. And he was, at that time, he was only 18, 19 years old. Then he came to Atlanta because he was originally from Greenville, South Carolina, which was only an hour and a half, 2 hours from Atlanta, but came to Atlanta and had a DJ show where he was playing gospel records. He had gone out to the Stamps Quartet School of Music, I think, in 46 or 47, and met some guys. One of the guys that sang in it, one of his groups or that he played for was was Glenn Payne. So, I mean, all these kids kind of met, not all of them, but many of them met at the old singing schools. And he always wanted to put together a quartet and played records there for a while in Atlanta. And finally, their very first group was a group with Gordon Hill singing bass, Bervin Kendrick singing baritone, Mosey Lister, no relation to Hopi, but the great songwriter Mosey sang lead, and a guy by the name of Bobby Strickland, a wonderful tenor, the same tenor. It wasn't one of the greatest sounding groups, and they didn't even make any recordings that any of us have. But that was the first group. And finally, Mosey didn't sing very long. Finally, he just said, Hovey, I can't do this. My voice is not strong enough. And suggested Jake Hess. So Jake came down, and then they started a radio show in Atlanta. And it wasn't long till Gordon Hill left, and Asel Soward was with them for just a couple, 3 months. And then Jake said, why don't we get a guy who sang with me in Lincoln? Mm-hmm. Named James Wetherington, later became the Big Chief. So Chief came, sang bass, and it's Bervin and Bobby Strickland and Jake. And the first group I heard was that group on Capitol Records, and that was probably in the late 48. I mean, probably in September, October when I got that first record.
We live in a microwave society, instant gratification, and you know, as good as the Statesmen were, I guess probably one question or one thing maybe assumed 1948 it was an immediate success, but it sounds like it maybe took 3 or 4 years to get this really great sounding group finally put together and some experience under their belts.
Well, from what I got from Jake, Hovey already had a following because of the Homeland Harmony and the Rangers, and he said one of the first paid admission dates he did was in Montgomery, Alabama, with the Spear family. Dad Spear sponsored it, and I said, "Did you make a hit?" He said, "Well, Hovey did, and they didn't care who else was there, but Hovey was there." And Jake is so kind when he recalls history. And obviously later on, Jake became a very important part of that whole piece. But he said it didn't make much difference who Hovey had. He said, "Yeah, we made a big hit," and the thing began to happen. And it was regional at first in the Atlanta area where they could drive back and forth, but it started to grow pretty quickly.
Hmm. Well, one interesting thing you mentioned, Mosey Lister, and of course he's renowned for his songwriting. How strange to have two men with an unusual last name, Lister, yes, and then two first names that are so similar, just a couple of consonants difference, you know.
Hovey and Mosey.
Yeah, really, exactly.
you would have thought that they would have been brothers, but Mosey was a very important part of that early group because he wrote a lot of their early material, you know, Happy Rhythm. Then I Met the Master and Till the Storm Passes By. I mean, he wrote How Long Has It Been? I mean, he wrote a lot of it. And what he didn't write, he arranged. There was a tune on Broadway called Great Day. When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout. Well, he did a wonderful barbershop Southern Quartet arrangement of Great Day. And he would just write just great harmony. And they would read it right from the paper.
When you're down and out, lift up your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by, there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you some early morn, you will hear his horn. Rudy Tootin, it's not far away, hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day, great day. There's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day.
Gabriel will warn you some early morn, you will hear his horn.
Rudy Tootin,
it's not far away. Hold up your hands and say,
there's gonna be a great day. When you're down and out, raise your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky say that by and by there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you some early morn, you will hear his horn. Rudy Tootin, it's not very far away. Raise your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day. There's gonna be a great day.
The Statesmen Quartet, as who are featuring today on Daniel Britt and Friends, with Bill Gaither co-hosting with us. It'd be no other, maybe the word authority comes to mind on this subject than Bill, and we're glad to have your input on this. When you're talking about these early days, you mentioned, well, of course, it's going to be a key thing that pops up in my mind, radio. Okay, I think it was WCON out of Atlanta. Was that one of the stations he was on?
And that's yes. And then later on, it was WSB. But their first station that they recorded on was WCON, which was owned by the same man who owned the Atlanta Constitution. So Hovey, who was a pretty good business guy and a pretty good politician, went to the owner and the manager of the Atlanta Constitution, who happened to own WCON, told him his idea for this great classic quartet. And he got an audience. You ready for this?
Yeah.
He got an audience with the manager of the Atlanta Constitution because he went to school with his with the guy's son. and fixed him up on a double date. So the son said, "Dad, you need to talk to this kid. He's a pretty fast talker."
WCON and WSB both are still broadcast. How would you describe, like, you were listening to AM radio out of Atlanta, you were in Indiana, and you were listening to these, you know, magical sounds coming out. How would you describe that kind of radio, that kind of a thing back in those days to kids today who are growing up with YouTube and hundreds of TV network choices? It was a different world back then, wasn't it?
Yes. Technically, obviously, it was not nearly as good as what it is today. However, it made you use your imagination. And I tell my grandkids, I feel sorry for you. You don't have to use your imagination anymore. All you got to do is find some new artist, some singer you love, and go to your internet, and you can find out everything you want to know about him instantly. I had to order books, and they had little quips under their picture to say, this guy likes fishing, this guy likes hunting, this guy likes to play tennis, you know. Yeah. He is married, he has two kids, you know. I had to find out about him, you know, the hard way. And all I heard was four guys around one microphone. Now imagine this. I mean, one microphone, the bass had to be in a little closer because he didn't sing as loudly as the other three did. The tenor had to back off because obviously he was in a higher range. Hmm. And they had a pianist in the corner of the studio, and they did these marvelous recordings.
When you had the chance to first see them in person, I assume you heard them on the radio first and you saw them in person second. Were there any disappointments? Were you blown away by other things? I mean, it's sometimes you get your hopes up, but what was it like?
I'll tell you exactly what it's like. I first heard them on WSM on Wally Fowler's All Nights singing in Nashville, and they said they're going to be here in 2 months from now. And there were other groups on there at the same time, and they were good, but there was a buzz when he started saying, "And now welcome from Atlanta," all he would say is, "Welcome from Atlanta, Georgia," and the crowd would start yelling and screaming, I suppose, as George Johnson would say, they pitched babies from the balcony. You know, and when they came out, the noise was so loud, it was hard to hear them, but you could hear the excitement that those guys were able to create in a building. So when I first went down to hear them for the first time, to answer your question, was it a disappointment? My lands, no. When they introduced those guys, they attacked the stage. They came running from backstage, and Hovey had his hands up in the air, and the crowd was yelling, and he started playing. Hovey did a crazy thing to piano. He was not the greatest pianist that's ever played in that business, and he would quickly admit, but he could create more excitement over that keyboard with all of his antics and while they were singing. And Jake said he couldn't figure it out when he first came to sing with them. He said you'd sing in the studio, and it was one thing because he'd just play and you'd sing. But the minute Hovey saw the crowd, he'd start jawing at the crowd and singing in a harmony part over there and buzzing and yelling. And Jake looked over the first night and said, "What in the world is he doing?" And he said, "I never did figure out what he was doing, but the crowd sure loved what he was doing." He could create excitement, you know, like nobody, in that field could create excitement. So I saw them, and on one of the videos, I said, "Here was the very seat where I sat," and I have never experienced anything like that. They started out with the old convention tune, "Everybody Will Be Happy Over There," and sang. I don't think you can sing that fast today. "There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond where the Savior shall soon in glory share." They were singing so fast, I thought, how in the world could you get all those words in there? It didn't make any difference because the crowd was so crazy.
Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there, over there. And we'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing his shout to the neighbor, he is praise. Everybody will be happy over there. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the Savior first shall soon his glory share. Where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there, over there. one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Yes, everybody will be happy over there, over there.
We'll be happy over there.
We will shout and sing his shout and sing his praise.
Everybody will be happy over there.
We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing his praises to the never-ending
praise. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy.
We will shout and sing his praises to the never-ending
praise.
Lister and the Statesman, you mentioned just a minute ago about how nobody else was doing that sort of thing. Okay, that right there is that's a wonderful attribute, but in the heat of the moment, when you start doing something different, and you probably know this better than anybody, when you start doing something different than the way we've always done it, there's going to be some criticism.
Oh, brother, was there criticism? And, yeah. You know, and I'll never forget, and Jake and Hovey, they didn't mind criticism. I remember one time, probably in Jake's last 10 years, there were some criticism on me about something, some people saying some things that weren't true. And I was talking to Jacob about it, and I said, Jake, this is not fair. This is just not true. I mean, why would people say this kind of thing? He said, don't worry about it, Bill said. It won't hurt. And he waited for a little bit and kind of grinned and said, besides, it might even help. And, you know, and they didn't care if just as long as they were the center of conversation.
Yeah.
There were churches, there were pastors who would get up and say, don't go see these guys. You know, they are a bunch of showbiz characters and all of that. In fact, Moody Monthly was a major magazine back then from Chicago. And they had a story, and in the story, they were criticizing all of their antics on stage and everything. And they said, Hovey Lister, when they come to town, the Hovey Lister and the Statesman is like a sideshow. And so Hovey was at the City Auditorium a month later and got up on stage and said, there's a certain magazine here in Chicago that says we're like a sideshow. Hovey Lister and the Statesman is like a sideshow. And I'll never forget it. He said, honey, when Hovey Lister and the Statesman come to town, we ain't no sideshow. We're the main attraction.
Yeah, so true.
If you want another incident about being criticized, they had a tune, and I forget the name of it, but it was a song that had horns on it. I mean, brass for the first time. Heading Home was the name of the tune. And there were DJs, when they first heard about it, they played it a couple of times, they got some criticism on it. There were DJs that actually broke the record broke the record over the radio. You could hear it crashing in the bits. Said, we will not play, that's the devil's music, Heading Home. I got a copy of it, and you'll like it.
I'm weary and tired,
I'm for you.
My labor is full.
I want to rest.
My labor's all.
Oh Lord, I'm going to that.
Someday to that beautiful shore
of where I'll die no more.
I know that soon I'll be going, no way of knowing when I shall cross Jordan's fall.
I'll cross Jordan's fall.
All I know that soon.
Under that starry dome,
beneath the
Well, speaking of attracting and attracting big audiences and really big names, all eyes were on the statesman, including in the later years, I guess, Elvis Presley. You know, it came out whenever his fame hit that people asked him questions, well, who are your influences or whatnot? And I guess it came out to be very common knowledge that he was a fan of gospel quartets and namely these guys.
In 49 and 50, Elvis was still in Tupelo, Mississippi as a teenager. And this was his, if you go through the museum in Tupelo, you will see his influence was gospel and was country and was the rhythm and blues. And, and from that part of the country, there was plenty of great black music, both gospel music and, you know, and black secular music. But when the statesman would come to town, he was just a kid, and he would come to the back door and didn't have any money. And the chief would let him in. Jake told me this story. See, this was in 49, 50. He hit in 54.
Mm-hmm.
But he was just trying to get attention and get on, and he would come to the back door and sit out there and listen to the whole program. Later on, in 54, when he hit, 55, when it got real big, he was in Memphis by then. So when they would come to Memphis for the quartet convention or any concert there, every time they'd come to town, he would tell Chief, come out of the house, because remember when he shook his leg?
Yeah, yeah.
He got that from the big chief, you know, because he'd sit and watch the chief standing up there and shaking that leg when he sang. And then as far as his style is concerned, he wanted to sing like Jake. I don't think he really sang like Jake, but he wanted to be able to croon like Jake was able to croon. Because, and any biography of Presley, they will say his favorite singer was Jake Hess.
Well, not long after that, in 57, I have here the history timeline that Denver Crumpler died, and I guess this is while he was with the group, right?
Yeah. A lot of people would say that, and of course people vary on this, but the classic sound would have been Jake and Denver, Hovey and Chief and Doyotte. And Denver sang with the Rangers, and Hovey played for the Rangers, you know, in 47, 46, 47. So that's when he first heard Denver. And when he organized the Statesman of 48, he wanted to get Denver. Mm-hmm. And of course, Denver had a solid job with the Rangers Quartet. They were on some pretty big radio stations on Capitol Recordings, and he couldn't get him. But after he got the group going, about 52 or 53, he finally enticed him to leave Dallas, Texas, and move to Atlanta. And so when he came, a lot of people felt like that was the classic group. Cat Freeman had been a great tenor, but didn't quite have the power up top that Denver had. And so, in fact, Denver was one of the first tenors I've ever heard that could pop a B flat or a high C in full voice.
Mm.
A lot of them had head tones, but to pop that up there in power, there weren't many people that could do that. So Hovey wanted him. So he came to town. A lot of people call that the classic group. And as far as I'm concerned, it was too. And that went on for 3 or 4 years until 57 or so there. And they had sung in a revival meeting at Denver's church. And it got done on Sunday. And the following Thursday, we're getting ready to leave for the weekend. And Denver's wife called Hovey and said, Denver's gone. I forget, it was heart-related. He was diabetic. He was only 43 years old, and I guess during the night had an aneurysm and was gone before they could even get him to the hospital. A little serendipity. We were recently in Detroit, and his son, Bobby Crumpler, was there, Denver's son. And what a beautiful guy. He's totally bald. He's 60 years old now, but his eyes look exactly like his dad's. We brought him up on the stage. Denver was a loving, good man. Everybody loved Denver, and that was quite a loss.
One thing that we know when we think of the Statesman is the power, the energy, the excitement, some of those superlatives I used at the beginning. I think it would be a true mark of a great group to show versatility. So you got the energy. What about pulling back and doing a soft ballad or something? Do you think these guys had it?
Oh, and most definitely. The other thing they had that, some of the other groups did not have, and, that was the ability to sing very tight, what we called at that time, modern harmony, which meant that the bass did not duplicate one of the other notes of the triad. The bass would go up to a six or a moving part, much like barbershops would do, barbershoppers would do. You know, and they could do songs like "When My Master Walks With Me," or some, you know, real tight harmony stuff, or "I've Been With Jesus," "Taller Than Trees."
Sky seems so much bluer when my master walks with me, and my step seems so much surer, for he is the eyes through which I see.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
look over all of your heartaches. And son, you can look over all of your fears.
When my friend is gone to my knees, I will go
growing stronger and taller than dreams.
The Statesman. It's a highlight on this edition of Daniel Britt and Friends with my guest co-host today and historian of all things statesman related, Bill Gaither, showcasing the outstanding talents there of their tight, tight harmonies in quartet music. Well, it's interesting you bring that up about the kind of the barbershop type harmonies where the bass guy. I recently talked to Lee Young. Your first bass in the vocal band back in the early 80s, and he was repeating the same things you just said there about the vocal band. So there's no doubt that that the Statesmen were an influence in you and something maybe you tried to bring into the vocal band's repertoire.
You know what? If I have to credit two or three groups as far as influencing the vocal band, and it would be more than that. I would happily have to definitely start with the Statesmen and their energy and the tight harmony stuff. Jordan Ayers would also be in that category, and probably the Imperials. I mean, when Jake organized the Imperials and was able to put those kind of voices together, and then you enter a Michael English, and then you're going to get some influence from the Goodman family and from what I call North Carolina heart.
Sure.
And, that brings another whole dimension to it. There was a tune called In the Beginning that the Statesmen sang that had real, real tight harmony that, you know, only a group like that could sing. And, and this was unusual.
In the beginning, the Lord made the earth, the heavens, the
seas. Then he created the sun and the stars, the land, the fruit, the trees.
He made all creatures that live in this world and taught them to live by his
he rested, the Lord sanctified the seventh day. Sometimes we stumble, sometimes we fall.
In the beginning, the world was so bright.
Perfection was there for all men.
So pray and believe in the Lord's holy light,
and we'll have perfection. Again.
I suppose Jake gave him as much heart as anybody before Rosie came. When Rosie came, there was a little bit more of a what I call a soulful approach to what they did. And Rosie came somewhere in 57 after Denver left.
In these, like the decade of the 50s here, I assume you were listening to them at this point?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. What were some of the big songs out of the 50s that you remember them recording with that kind of that classic lineup they had?
This Old House, of course, was just about a national hit with them. Stuart Hammond had written it, and Rosie Clooney had a big hit on it. But they went to New York and just stole the Godfrey Show up there on CBS, doing This Old House.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. When the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in,
this old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now she trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to all the hinges, nor to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer.
This old house is getting shaky. This old house is getting old. This old house lets in the rain. This old house lets in the cold. Oh, my knees are getting chilly, but I feel no fear of pain, 'cause I see an angel peeking through the broken window pane.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to all the hinges, nor to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer.
This old house is afraid of thunder. This old house is afraid of storm. This old house just moans and trembles when the night wind flings its arms. This old house is a-getting feeble. This old house is a-needing paint. Just like me, it's tuckered out, but I'm a-getting ready to meet the saints.
Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more.
Ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the floor. Ain't got time to all the hinges, nor to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm a-getting ready.
They would find songs like Move That Mountain, spirituals that were just fun.
When troubles pile up high as a mountain in the sky, don't just sit around feeling blue. There's no need to cry if in faith you will rely. Nothing is impossible for you. You can move that mountain, you can move that mountain. Wait till tomorrow, start today. You can move that mountain, you can move that mountain. Wherever there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm. When luck begins to slide down the rugged mountainside, don't let worries cloud your mind with fear. Hold your head up high in the early by and by. All your troubles soon will disappear. You can
move that mountain, you can move that mountain. Don't wait till tomorrow, start today.
You can
move that mountain, you can move that mountain. Wherever there's a will, there's a way.
When life is cold and bleak as a snow-capped mountain peak, don't give up your hopes in despair. You can find a way, please believe in what I say. Troubles all will vanish in the air.
You can move that mountain, you can move that mountain. Don't wait till tomorrow, start today.
Arthur Smith had written a tune called I've Been With Jesus, and they gave it their own statesman treatment.
You may ask me why I'm singing. I can hear the joy bells ringing. I've been on a visit so inspiring. There's within my heart a feeling. I can feel the Spirit stealing. And I know from sin I am retiring.
I've been with Jesus.
I've been with Jesus.
And I'm so happy.
And I'm so happy.
I can feel him,
in my soul.
soul.
With love he sought
with
me.
Love he sought
with
me.
Blood he bought
with
me.
With blood he bought me.
I've been with Jesus,
I'm whole.
Can't you hear an echo stealing from the past? It's all revealing. Stop and listen, don't go on unheeding. Peace is flowing like a river in that far off sweet forever. Don't you see it's Jesus that you need?
I've been with Jesus.
I've been with Jesus.
And I'm so happy.
And I'm so happy.
I can feel him
in my soul.
With love he sought me.
With love he sought me.
With blood he bought me.
With blood he bought me.
I've been with Jesus.
I've been with Jesus and I'm whole.
I'm going to make a journey, one from which I won't return, and I will live forever in his glory. But until that bright tomorrow, in this world of sin and sorrow, everywhere I go, I'll tell the story.
I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I can feel him in my soul. With love he sought me, with blood he bought me. I've been with Jesus and I'm home.
They were also able to go to the black field and get some tunes that nobody else was doing. There was a guy in Memphis named Herbert Brewster and the Brewster Gospel Singers who had written a wonderful black gospel tune called Once I Was Sinking in Sin, My Soul Was Troubled Within, A Ladder Was Sent Down from Heaven, After My Sins Were Forgiven. Started out with higher, it led my soul to higher ground, now I'm climbing higher and higher. But the theology of the song, I'm going to climb till I pass the sun, moon, and stars, Jupiter, Venus, Neptune, and Mars. The way he was able to, to use science and the universe.
Yeah.
And then the theological terms, like the first round was justification, the second round glorification, the third a happy confession, then my soul to glory, sent my soul to glory. I forget what the word he used, but it was pretty interesting songwriting. Even in today's standards, it would be very interesting songwriting.
Once I was sinking in sin, my soul was troubled within. Sent down from heaven, after my sins were forgiven. Started out for higher ground, to climb the ladder round by round. Well, I'm climbing higher and higher, and I won't come down.
First round was regeneration,
still climbing.
Second round, justification.
Still climbing.
The third, a happy confession.
Still climbing.
And then the Holy Ghost took possession.
Still climbing.
The next round was great tribulation.
Still climbing.
And lead your soul to glorification.
Still climbing.
Well, I'm climbing
higher and higher, and I won't come down.
I'm gonna climb till I pass the sun, moon, and stars. Venus, Neptune, and Mars. Bid farewell to this old house of clay. Then I'll go running up the Milky Wide Way.
I'm climbing round by round. I'm so high I never come down. Still climbing round by round.
I'm climbing
for higher ground. Well.
I'm gonna climb till I pass the sun. Wide way.
First heaven,
I'm climbing round by round.
Second heaven,
I'm so high I never come down. Still climbing round by round, climbing for higher ground.
So they had songs like that, and then Hamlin would come out with tunes like Your First Day in Heaven, which is sung by every current quartet even today.
Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the golden avenue.
There are mansions left and right, and they're thrilled to every side. And the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, that first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle, took time to read the Bible. It's a great, great morning for you.
I had a dream, and I'll confess I hated to awake. He dreamt he was an angel at the great pearly gate.
St. Peter said, why, hello there, where have you been?
We got your mansion ready, so come right in.
And then he rang for an angel to act as a guide.
He spread his wings a time or two and learned how to fly.
Oh, it's a great, great morning, your first day in heaven, when you stroll down the Golden Avenue. There are mansions left and right, and they're thrilled to every side. And the saints are always smiling, saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning, that first day in heaven, when you realize your worrying days are through. You'll be glad you were not idle, took time to read the Bible. It's a great, great morning for you.
Let Out of Bondage by Bob Prather. The other interesting thing they had going for them, and it was shown in the song Let Out of Bondage, was they had a bass singer that probably was the first rapper in the business, in the gospel music business. He was a rapper. God shall wear slaves in Egypt land, but God took Moses by the hand. He said, Moses, tell old Pharaoh to set him free.
Yeah.
I mean, he would just talk. He was just talking the words. You know, he wasn't singing. Yeah. The big chief. And he was known, you know, for the his ability to do that. He was the first guy to do stuff like that.
God promised to lead his children out of bondage. He said he'd free them from Pharaoh's evil hand. He said he'd guide and protect them on the journey and lead them to the promised land.
God shall have our slave in Egypt land, so God took Moses by the hands and Moses, hello, Pharaoh, set him free. But Moses wanted a way to get out, cause in his mind he began to doubt, said, Lord, oh, Pharaoh ain't gonna listen to me. Now the Lord says, son, throw down that rod. Oh, Moses did, then he cried to God, for he turned to a snake, as wicked and evil as sin. Then he cried again with an awful wail, for the Lord says, see, he's in by the tail. Oh, Moses did, then it turned to a rod again.
God promised to lead his children out of bondage. He said he'd free them from Pharaoh's evil hand. He said he'd guide and protect them on the journey and lead them to the promised land.
The Lord said, Moses, I've got power and I'll be with you every hour. Said, go tell Pharaoh to set my children free. Well, Moses did, the Lord helped out. He sent the plague to the land of Mount Lo. Pharaoh told him to go and let him be. So they started out with a cloud by day and a fire by night. For to lead the way, Lo, Pharaoh suddenly decided to change his mind. So he gathered together his soldier band, got all the chariots throughout the land, said, I'll let them Israelites go some other time.
God promised to lead his children out of bondage. He said he'd free them from Pharaoh's evil hand. He said he'd guide them and take them on the journey and lead them to the promised land.
When they came to the bank of the ocean blue, they turned to Moses and said, what are we doing? Old Moses fell to his knees there in the sand. The Lord said, Moses, trust in God. All you gotta do is just raise that rod and over these mighty waters stretch your foot with your hand. Moses followed the Lord's command. The waters parted in there in the sand. They saw a path that led to the other shore. When the ground was dry, they passed on through. Pharaoh's army thought they would too, but the waters fell. They ain't never been seen no more.
God promised to lead his children out of bondage. He said he'd free them from Pharaoh's evil hand. He said he'd guide and protect them on their journey.
So that was a big song that they had. Songs like, and of course they would do the traditional songs out of the quartet field, like Hide Me, Rock of Ages.
Oh, thou blessed Rock of Ages, Rock of Ages, I am trusting now, dear Lord, in thee.
Dear Lord, in thee, I'm trusting.
Keep me till thy blessing.
The big masterful hits they had was a song called Prayer is the Key to Heaven, but Faith Unlocks the Door, which featured Jake basically doing probably a Bill Kenny and Ink Spots impersonation. You know, there was a black group called the Ink Spots, where the tenor would go, "If I didn't care more than words could say." And Jake came along with his own style of that, doing Prayer is the Key to Heaven. And then the bass would do the reading in the middle. Pretty amazing stuff.
Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the are so easily spoken. Prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. Have faith when you speak to the master.
Opportunity, obviously, to be friends with them and work with them, even in a professional. I seem to remember right around the Homecoming era, at the beginning of the Homecoming thing, you were listed as producer of a Statesman collaboration at that time. And I'm trying to think who all was in that group. I think Young was singing bass, I think, was it?
Yeah, I think so.
And was Johnny Cook on there?
Johnny was singing tenor, and Viney English was singing baritone, and Jake was singing the lead. And we did three projects putting that old group together because of people loved that group and people, you know, and people loved Hovey.
Heaven is near and I can't stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye.
Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone.
Weep when I'm gone. Cause
I won't have to leave here alone.
Leave here alone.
And when I hear that last trumpet sound,
my feet will stay on the ground. I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly. I'm gonna ride with my Lord through the sky. To that shore,
and I'll never find, for I'll leave behind my
heartaches and tears evermore. My day may be two, then goodbye. Tomorrow I'll rise up and fly.
Heaven is near, and I can't stay here.
Goodbye, world, goodbye.
Now don't you weep for me when I'm gone, cause I won't have to leave here alone. When I hear that last trumpet sound,
my feet won't stay on the ground, on the ground.
I'm gonna rise with the shout, gonna fly.
I'm gonna rise with my Lord through the sky. Heaven is near, I can't stay here. Goodbye, world.
Daniel Britt and friends, focusing on the Statesman Quartet. We have to put a bookmark here, but don't worry, we're coming back next week for part two and our conclusion of the Statesman Quartet, the history of the Statesman, according to Bill Gaither. He's my guest co-host. We'll be back here next week, same time, same place.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.